please, I will be calling the meeting to order. This meeting will be held in accordance with House Rule 10.01, which is posted online. And with that, we do have a quorum, and so glad to see all of you here. Good morning. I will be chairing today, appreciate your grace in this. And with that, I'll turn to Chair Carlson to move the adoption from the last meeting's minutes.
Okay, I move adoption of the minutes dated May 1, 2020.
The minutes were provided to members in your packets electronically, and I'll just wait a minute to see if there's any comments or questions before we move for a voice vote. Seeing none, then we'll do a voice vote. So if you could please unmute your devices. Great. All those in favor, please vote aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. So today's agenda, which also is in your packets, we have three bills on the agenda for today. And the first bill is Senate File 1098, Representative Morrison, the Prescription Drug Price Transparency Act. And so you should have all of the information with that in your packet. And this bill came to us from the floor last week, so we do not have any division reports. I will move Senate File 1098, the fourth engrossment, for the author to get the bill before us. So Representative Morrison, welcome to the committee. Please present your bill with a focus on the fiscal impact.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Senate File 1098 is a bill to require greater transparency about drug price increases. The cost of prescription drugs is high and growing higher, including older drugs and new drugs entering the market. Drug manufacturers definitely help to create life-changing and life-sustaining medications, but these medications are useless unless people can afford them. Drug costs now represent 23 cents of every dollar spent on healthcare, more than inpatient hospital costs. The latest round of price increases just happened in January of this year. Prices increased on more than 200 prescription drugs. The steep increases harm patients and impact taxpayers who help pay for public programs, such as Medicare and Medicaid, which provide drugs to enrollees. Creating more transparency of drug prices is an important first step toward raising awareness of the role of drug prices in healthcare and will lead to better understanding of drug pricing that can help inform public policy. So the bill asks pharmaceutical companies to report the reasons why existing drugs, new drugs, or newly acquired drugs either enter the market above a certain threshold or increase in price by a certain percentage over a 12 and 24 month period. They're asked to report to the Commissioner of Health the reasons why a drug was priced the way it was. This bill was included in last year's House and Senate HHS omnibus bills, and the money to enact it was appropriated. The language was not included in the final bill because agreement was not reached on trade secret language. Over the interim, we worked through these differences and created a compromise on language to protect manufacturers and their trade secrets. As a result, both the generic manufacturers and medical alley are now neutral on the bill. The bill was taken up again this year in the House and Senate, and Senate File 1098, as Chair Olson mentioned, was passed off the Senate floor last week with overwhelming bipartisan support. Because the money was appropriated to MDH last year and was obviously not used because the final language of the bill was not enacted, the fiscal impact for fiscal year 2021 is a net savings of $655,000. There's no need for additional money this year. The bill has the support of a broad coalition of stakeholders and has bipartisan authors in both the House and Senate. Thank you for the opportunity to present Senate File 1098, and I urge your support.
All right. Thank you, Representative Morrison. And just to mention, too, that there are some about organizational letters of support and opposition that were emailed out and posted online if you have questions about those. And there are some folks to answer questions on the call. But with that, are there any questions or comments or discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the author, so in the fiscal note, I guess, can you just cover with regards to the fiscal note why the, you mentioned in your report, I'm sorry, that the that this was appropriated last year, but I don't understand the tie-in to why it produces a negative number in the second fiscal year.
We could have Representative Morrison, or I believe Doug Berg, Mr. Berg is also on the call as well. So
that'd be great. Thank you.
Yes. Representative Morrison, would you like to do, or should I defer to Mr. Berg? Okay, I believe she's on mute, but I believe she's telling me to Mr. Berg.
Sorry, Madam Chair, yes, Mr. Berg would do an excellent job.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, it may be as easy as there, it was posted. I know the committee administrator posted a spreadsheet, a very short spreadsheet that's just labeled the Senate File 1098 spreadsheet that contains three lines. Last year, this bill, as the author mentioned, the appropriations were passed, but the enabling legislation wasn't. It in last year's fiscal note envisioned it starting in fiscal year 2020, but that didn't happen. So there was $899,000 appropriated in 2020, but no program. We re-fiscal noted the bill this year with a start date in fiscal 21 because there are changes to indirect cost schedules and salary schedules that produce slightly different numbers. But in the first biennium, the short answer is we appropriated $1.6 million for a two-year program, and now we need $965,000 for a one-year program in this biennium, creating a savings of $655,000. Now, the update of the schedules for salaries and indirect costs mean that the bill also updates the tails that are in there slightly higher than were appropriated or were estimated last year. But in the current biennium, it saves $655,000 from the original estimate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair and Mr. Berg, thank you for the explanation. I guess usually when we see parentheses around a number, it's because the policy change is resulting in an expenditure reduction. But this bill is not necessarily causing an expenditure reduction. If we were not to take action on the bill, the same savings would exist in fiscal year 20. Or am I misunderstanding the is there a policy change that's actually generating savings in fiscal year 20?
Mr. Berg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo. Well, actually, if we didn't enact any enabling legislation at this point, at the end of the biennium, the entire $1.62 million would cancel. So from that perspective, the bill actually spends $965,000 in 2021, but that amount of money has already been appropriated, and in fact, a larger amount has been appropriated. So this enabling legislation changes the estimated expenditure from the amount that was appropriated last year so that it is a lower amount. So from today's perspective, if we pass this and enact it before the end of the biennium, there will be a cancellation of $655,000 that happens. If we do nothing at the end of the biennium, there would be a cancellation of $1.6 million.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Berg, thank you very much for the explanation. I was trying to understand how the policy language generated savings, but I understand how this is being described now. So thank you to the author and thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion? I'm not seeing any hands up. Okay, with that, Representative Morrison, before we renew the motion, any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for the opportunity to present Senate File 1098. I urge your support. It's critically important, now more than ever in our COVID era, to understand the pricing of drugs going forward, as we're going to obviously have high healthcare costs. So I urge your support. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And with that, I renew my motion that Senate File 1098, the fourth engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register. And before we vote, we were having a fair amount of just technical difficulty with voting in the past. So we're going to be having the clerk take the roll similar to the way we do on the House floor, where we'll be the member's name will be repeated as well as the vote so that you'll hear it repeated back to you to know, in fact, that your vote was recorded. So we will give that a try here. So with that, if you could unmute your device, and we'll try this new way. And with that, we'll have the CLA take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Aye.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids? Representative Davids? Representative Davney? Representative Driskowski? Representative Driskowski? Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen?
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye.
Sounds great. Thanks for your help.
Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Hertas, aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha? Representative Kreisha? Representative Liebling?
Kreisha, aye.
Kreisha, aye. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani? Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Neuer?
Aye.
Neuer, aye. Representative Pulowski? Representative Pulowski?
Aye.
Pulowski, aye. Representative Poppy? Representative Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher? Representative Scott? Representative Scott? Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel? Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney? Representative Driskowski?
I am here. I'm sorry I stepped away. I don't know what we're voting on.
This is Senate File 1098.
Oh, no.
Driskowski, no. Representative Scott? That's 23 ayes, one nay.
Did everyone who needed to vote, vote? Ready to see no hands up. So with that, the motion prevails and the bill is on the way to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Morrison.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So the next two bills up are Representative Hansen. So we'll take up House File 4498, the LCCMR bill first. So with that, this bill came to us from the House floor, and Representative Hansen, you can just move your bill to begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 4498. Is that the division report?
Actually, Representative Hansen, there is no division report because it came from the House floor. So we don't have a division report. So you can just move House File 4498, the first engrossment, and have it be recommended to be placed on the general register.
That's what I do.
Okay, great. And there are no amendments, so we can go to a description of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 4498 is the annual LCCMR bill. This bill appropriates $2.768 million in FY20 and $61.387 million in FY21 from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. It includes projects tentatively selected by the LCCMR, except for $1.5 million for wastewater treatment grants. Ms. Becca Nash from the LCCMR is here if members have any questions. To describe the $2.767 million available in FY20, that's because of a cancellation for the Sauk Center project. The City of Melrose provided the LCCMR with a city resolution stating it will no longer be pursuing the Sauk River Dam proposal that had received an appropriation of that amount last year. The city attended the LCCMR meetings to provide explanation. As a result, the LCCMR voted at that meeting to allow the legislature to have discretion on how these funds would be spent. 15 LCCMR votes were present. Approval of this motion was unanimous. $1.5 million in FY21 will be from no wastewater treatment grants. Where does the money from the FY20 cancellation go? $900,000 for lawns to legumes, $699,000 for a University of Minnesota project to evaluate the ability of COVID-19 and other potentially infectious organisms to travel through wastewater systems, including septic systems, to drinking water sources. Additional $249,000 to fully fund the Science Museum's study to determine when, where, and why lakes in pristine areas are getting algal blooms, and then additional $320,000 to the DNR for emerald ash borer. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Representative Hansen. And just to note that the spreadsheet was posted online, and so members should have had that in their packet as well if they'd like to review that. So any discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And at the risk of offending the senior member of the Dakota County delegation, Representative Hansen, can you, there's obviously a pretty contentious issue here that's going to stop this bill from moving forward in the session. Can you just outline for the committee the history of what the divide with the Senate is regarding this wastewater infrastructure issue?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Garofalo. And Representative Garofalo and I argue over who's the senior member. I maintain that he is because G comes before H. So a little bit on the, you may remember last year there was conflict over the LCCMR as well, and it relates to the question of whether there should be wastewater treatment loans or grants. The Constitution describes wastewater loans. There had been grants that had been appropriated. There was litigation that was filed, and at the end of last year's legislative session, the compromise is that there would be wastewater treatment loans. Then we were in the request for proposal for this year's bill. We sought out topics. There were, I believe, 126, maybe Ms. Nash could correct me if I'm wrong, but around 120 proposals considered. Wastewater treatment was not one of them. When it came to the end of the, to decide what would be in the bill as a recommendation from the LCCMR, there was a motion that passed that put in $1.5 million for wastewater treatment grants, even though the Public Facilities Authority did not support wastewater treatment grants. So subsequently, It takes 12 votes to approve a recommendation. So I'm going to have some semantics here in terms of selections versus recommendations. The bill in front of you are the selections because there was no formal recommendation. The Senate bill includes the selections with wastewater treatment grants. This bill does not include the wastewater treatment grants. And then we appropriated the funds from that $1.5 million elsewhere. I described some of those appropriations from the cancellation as well. So what we have in front of us is a bill that Representative Garofalo, I'm optimistic. I know the Senate sent a letter saying they didn't want to support this, but I'm hopeful. I think that as long as we're in session and we have the ability to communicate, there's hope. And I'm hopeful that we could achieve an LCCMR bill for this year.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Hansen. Just so putting aside the dispute of the issue, just talking about the individual process, I want to make sure that I understand. So that wastewater project, it received a majority vote of the LCCMR, but none of the projects reached the 12-vote threshold. Is that correct?
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, not in the vote for approval. If we went back and looked at the record, we took each proposal individually. I was chairing that meeting and we voted on each one. Many of them were unanimous. I don't have a recollection of how many individually, but there is a record of how many were approved individually. It was the vote for the package to move forward to receive 10 votes, not 12 votes.
Okay. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, again, I don't think I'm breaking any news here today that obviously this is a pretty contentious issue and absent movement by, I should ask you, have there been any new conversations with the Senate or regarding those, the opposition to this bill, absent that provision being included? Is there any dialogue or movement for this consensus?
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, Senator Ingebrigtsen and I have talked. We continue to talk. Staff continue to talk, not just on this bill, but on the broader number of environmental proposals that are in a bill that will be coming before us sometime in the next couple of days. So communication is occurring. We did discuss shortly LCCMR, but we're at the beginning of the week, not the end of the week, Representative.
Okay. Madam Chair, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Hansen. I'll be recommending a no vote on this bill today. Certainly, I respect the fact that there may be some ongoing conversations, but as has been put in writing, this bill will not becoming law this year, absent an agreement on that wastewater infrastructure issue. And I'll just, I won't comment on the overall issue of why spending money on clean water is somehow not a appropriate use of this fund, but I would just recommend members vote no on this bill today. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Give it a second here. Seeing no hands raised, I will turn to Representative Hansen to renew his motion and any closing words and then to renew your motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a good bill. I want to highlight again that inclusion that we provided about studying the impacts of COVID on wastewater. So, Representative Garofalo, wastewater research, looking at the impact as we're in this crisis, we have included $699,000 there versus wastewater pipes. So I'm hopeful that we can move forward. I would ask for your support. It's a good bill, lots of good information and work that's in there. I forgot to mention the Terrestrial Invasives Research Center that has provided great dividends for the state of Minnesota and would continue to do so. So I would ask for your support and I would renew my motion that House File is 44, better double check, 4498. Be recommended to pass the first engrossment and sent to the general register.
Great, thank you. And with that, the Ms. Sparkman will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Yes.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
No.
Davids, no. Representative Dabney? Excused. Representative Druskowski?
No.
Druskowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Yes.
Eklund, yes. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes. Hansen, yes.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Steen, aye. Representative Kreisha? Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Neuer?
Aye.
Neuer, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher? Representative Scott? Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Representative Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Seventeen ayes, 10 noes.
Did everyone who wished to vote, vote? Great. All right, on a 17 to 10 vote, the motion prevails and the bill is on the way to the general register. Thank you, Representative Hansen. And with that, you also have the next bill up. So we'll turn it over to you for House File 4180. And the bill came to us from the floor, so no division report, so we'll move it the same way that you did the last bill. So go ahead and make your motion, Representative Hansen, and then discuss your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I would move House File 4180 be as amended. First engrossment, would that be correct?
That's correct.
Be recommended to pass and be sent to the general register.
Great, and there are no amendments, so you can present your bill.
Madam Chair and members, this is the perchloroethylene use prohibited as a dry cleaning solvent, prior appropriations modified and money appropriated. You may remember last year we passed some efforts on improving the situation for our dry cleaners in the state. There were dry cleaners who had been on the waiting list for cleanup for up to 3 years. So at the end of the session, we had a compromise worked out between the Senate, the administration, and the House, which provided for $600,000 to clean up and reimburse dry cleaners who had done cleanups, some as many as 3 years ago, to pay the reimbursement for their cleanup. A second $600,000 was appropriated on the condition that the MPCA and the dry cleaners would work out a compromise on trying to make sure the fund would remain solvent. A third $600,000 looked at a liability research in terms of how we could prevent this situation from occurring in the future. What this bill does is it extends that study, that $600,000. It frees up the $600,000 that was appropriated last year because for an additional cleanup, there are still dry cleaners on the list all over the state. And that $600,000 was appropriated last year. It would free that up because there has been no agreement between the MPCA and the dry cleaners. And then to prevent future contamination, looking at a model in Minneapolis, we have a cost share program paid for by the environmental fund, not the general fund, that would reimburse dry cleaners and as they transition away with the equipment from perchloroethylene, which is the main contaminant that's a very nasty chemical. So it would ban that and then provide technical assistance, but also financial assistance for those dry cleaners. Just to note that when the dry cleaner cleanup fund was established nearly 30 years ago, there were about 300 dry cleaners. Now there are less than 100. So the money that is generated for their fees to pay for the cleanup is unable to pay the cleanup costs. That's why we have that delay in the cleanup. So the Senate companion here is by Senator Ingebrigtsen. We had worked out a compromise last year, and I'm asking for your support.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Is there any discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hansen, I'm not going to try to pronounce the chemical that you're prohibiting as a dry cleaner solvent, but will people still be able to purchase this product and use it for other things?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo. This is in the dry cleaners situation only.
Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair and Representative Hansen, given your description of this chemical, why would we prohibit it for one use but still allow consumers to purchase it and use it?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo. It's a question of volume. The PERC has been the primary cleaning solvent used with dry cleaners. So we're triaging the situation, looking at the volume. And we have a model that worked from Minneapolis where we cost shared out for their equipment.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Representative Hansen. So what is the status of this bill in the Senate right now?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo. The companion bill is authored by Senator Ingebrigtsen. The language in the companion bill is reducing the fees that the dry cleaners made. In our committee, we did a delete all that put in the components that are in this particular bill. Senator Ingebrigtsen and I have talked and both have a goal of trying to help the dry cleaners out and to provide a long-term solution so that we don't have to have this coming back year after year for support from the Environmental Fund.
And
Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Hansen. Just to, at this point in the process of this bill, is it fair to say that the House and Senate are still in the peacock strutting phase where each sides are kind of showing their feathers, saying this is what they believe in? Or would you say that there's more of an agreement that we're likely to see before this comes up on the floor?
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Garofalo, I think that what you have on this bill is you have two chickens that are eating corn together, but they're probably trying to decide who eats the most.
Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I like my analogy better than yours. That's okay. That's fine. But I do think, in a moment of seriousness, I do think that while it's normal at the end of session that we kind of have the, like I said, the strutting and the showing of colors as we posture for negotiations, I do think, given the situation we're in, both for the House and Senate, we're better served by having those negotiations take place before we take bills to the floor. I'll be voting no on your bill today, but I would hope that you and Senator Engelbertson are able to reach an agreement on this issue before we burn any floor time on it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't usually get into these kinds of discussions. This isn't my area of expertise, but I'm just noting a pattern here that there seems to be an interest in not supporting something because the other body doesn't support it. I just want to call that out. It's really interesting to me that that seems to be the explanation for voting no on a bill in the House. I don't know when we got to that point that we looked to the other body to tell us how to vote, but I just wanted to note that that seems to be the explanation here for some of what's going on in the discussion and in the votes.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. I see Representative Garofalo, did your hand go back up?
Oh, it most certainly did, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess it wouldn't be a Ways and Means Committee hearing without Representative Liebling and myself having a disagreement on something. But as always, good to see you, Representative Liebling. Members, I think it's important to recognize that the reason why there's a change in behavior is because our state is facing an international pandemic. We have a state unemployment rate of over 20%. And we need to have a laser focus on items that are related to COVID-19. And absent that focus and action on trying to mitigate the economic disaster before us, the public health crisis that our state is facing, we really shouldn't be screwing around with other things. Now, if Representative Hansen and Senator Engelbertson, they want to go work out their agreements and bring consensus items to us on the floor, that's fine. But absent the urgency in what is truly an international crisis before us, you're darn right. And I'll give the same advice to the Senate. The Senate shouldn't be advancing bills that the House has no interest in passing. We're facing a crisis. Let's keep our eye on the ball and not be screwing around with other stuff. But nice to see you, Representative Liebling.
Representative Hertas. Representative Hertas. I'm not hearing you.
Okay, are we there?
Okay, now we hear you, Representative.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hansen. I just wanted to comment with regard to your analogy about the chickens and which one is eating the most. I'll just remind you that usually the chicken that eats the most is the biggest and fattest and usually ends up on the rotisserie first. Thank you.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I will take the strutting analogy or description here. It could have been a turkey too, strutting. So, I don't know if it's a peacock or a turkey, but Representative Liebling, not all of us are voting no because of what you perceive to be the reason. This again is another bill brought by the DFL to tell Minnesotans what they can't do to further hurt business. Similar to the governor's continued obstruction that is holding up the ability for our economy to recover from the pit that it has been placed in. So I don't want to see any more of this. My constituents don't. And that's the reason, therefore, Representative Liebling, I'll be voting no, just to be helpful. Thank you.
Any further discussion? I'm not seeing any, so I'll turn it back to Representative Hansen for closing comments and to renew your motion.
Thank you. With the crisis, small businesses are impacted, and this is one concern that dry cleaners have. Some of them have paid for the cleanup previously and have not been reimbursed. So passing this bill frees up that money, can help pay those cleanup costs. So that's one less thing that they're having to worry about. In addition, it would provide support for transitioning away from PERC as some have already done. So prevention rather than cleanup. I think you will find many dry cleaners are supportive of getting a resolution to this rather than having the potential cost hanging over them and to provide for long-term environmental benefits. So I'd ask for your support. I'm hopeful again that the Senate and the House will be able to work this out along with the agency. I renew my motion that House File 4180 pass and be sent to the General Register. First engrossment.
So the motion is before us, and we'll have Ms. Sparkman take the roll. And if you could please mute yourself after you vote so we don't get feedback and it's easier to hear. So unmute yourself for voting and then remute yourself after your vote, please. So with that, Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Yes.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney, excused. Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Drazkowski, no. Representative Eklund?
Yes.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher? Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Torkelson?
No.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel?
No.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. It's 18 ayes, 9 nays.
Did everybody who wished to vote, vote? Not hearing or seeing any hands. So with that, the motion on a 17-10 vote prevails and the bill is on its way to the General Register. So thank you, Representative Hansen. And with that, I believe that's all we have for our official business today. There will be no Ways and Means tomorrow so that you can participate in the MMB briefing to be updated on the budget outlook. So we won't have Ways and Means. There will be other meeting notices that you can continue to watch for. And our next meeting is Wednesday at 8:30, and the details will be sent. And that is the meeting where we're going to be hearing from MMB regarding the CARES Act, as well as hearing from Colby about on allotment per the request of one of our members for discussion. And with that, I'll turn it to Chair Carlson to see if there are any further announcements as well.
Well, Madam Chair, you covered the announcements quite well. Just would say to everybody, be alert through the rest of the week for our announcements about hearings and bills that we'll be taking up. With that, I think we can adjourn.
Great. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, members.